Let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer, of course, is test yourself. See if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's so difficult in Satan's world to remain positive as an individual. It's next to impossible for some type of institution, college, seminary, nation. It has been bestowed upon us to live at a time when our country is moving drastically away from you, your son, your word, our own history. But tonight, Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this great country and our heritage. Pray, Father, you will use what we're going to see tonight to the honor and glory of your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. 3rd October, 1789. From George Washington. Whereas, as I read this, I want you to think about the politicians today, especially the Democrats, but I'm sorry to say a lot of Republicans are not into the heritage of our country and into a relationship with Christ. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. I just can't imagine anyone today those kind of words. Whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. You know, a lot of people will give thanks tomorrow, but I wonder who they're giving thanks to. Atheists don't believe in a God, but I'm sure an atheist will be thankful tomorrow. But just thankful, not to God, not to the God. Who you give thanks to? What are you giving thanks about? Needs to be considered. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent of our author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite, rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country, previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal of manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence in the course and conclusion of the late war for independence, for the great degree of tranquility, union, plenty which we have since enjoyed. For the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the nation, one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty, which was losing today, with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. I don't know how aware you are, but Christianity and Judaism is under attack not only throughout the world, but here in America. And there are people in America saying we need to get rid of Christians and Jews out of this country. Saying it on national television. And they're just, we're moving away from God. And that's what our young people have to, the environment they're having to grow up in. We talked Sunday about young people tending suicide. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. But it's just, we're losing these things that George Washington is talking about. We're reading George Washington's Proclamation Day of National Thanksgiving, 3 October, 1789. The Congress of both houses have asked him to set aside a date of celebration. The last paragraph, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws. We're not wise today, we're certainly not just, and we're certainly not obedient to the Constitution. Discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have known kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion, Christianity, and virtue, and the increase of science among them and among us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows the best, given under my hand at the city of New York, the 3rd day of October, A.D. 1789, I am gratefully George Washington. So that's where we were. Want to jump to October 3. 1863. Now what we just read was in 1789, a little less than 100 years later, 1863, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and helpful skies. To these bounties, remember where we are, 1863, you know what was going on. The war between the states. Remember that. Okay. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they came. And that's where we are in America, forgot the source. Others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensitive to the ever wrathful, watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed. I don't know where he was living when he wrote this, but because it didn't happen in that way. And harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth, of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense, have not arrested the plow, the shutter, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines as well as of iron and coal, as of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield, and the country. Rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel has devised, nor have any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gift of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, have nevertheless remembered His mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are in sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe this last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our benefactor, Father, who dwelleth in the heavens, and I recommend to them that while offering up ascriptions justly due to Him for such significant deliverances and blessings, that they do also with humble penitence for our national perseverance and disobedience, commend to His tender care for those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the impositions of His almighty hand to deal the wounds of the nation, and to heal the wounds of the nation, and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with His divine purpose to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony thereof, I have hitherto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington, this third day of October, in the year of our Lord 1863, of the independence of the United States, by the President Abraham Lincoln, William H. Stewart, Secretary of State. Let's spend a few moments tonight looking at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. There are a multitude of verses and scriptures in the Bible that can be dealt with. I've been doing this for 45 years and done a lot of them. John Hintz read me what he was going to do tonight. And I said, you know, that's great, but where's the Thanksgiving? And he said, well, that's the whole point. There isn't any. I went, well, that's a backdoor way to tell people to be thankful. And he said, you got it. That's it. And so that's his operation for tonight. I'm in prayer for his simply. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with forever our God is a consuming fire. Okay, let us be thankful. Are they magnifiers? Yeah. I left mine at home. I don't know why I did. Well, I do know why. They're not super powerful. We were at the hospital this morning. My grandson was getting a major hour and a half knee operation. And two people were reading. They didn't have any glasses. I said, well, I'm going to get you some. So I've given away my magnifying that I keep in the car. All right, let us be thankful. Let us constantly show gratitude. Now, please note the subjunctive mood. The subjunctive mood. Present subjunctive. Constantly, all the time, we have gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, because His grace is constantly given. So we have to constantly, we should constantly be in thanksgiving, not just once a year, not even just when we eat, but give thanks. And I want to tell you something. I don't want you to forget to give thanks for your salvation. Sometimes most of us in this room have enjoyed several decades of our salvation, studying the Word of God, and tend to forget so great a salvation. Don't forget it. Reflect on what our life would be like if it were not for Jesus Christ. Where would we be? Besides headed for a lake of fire, just in life, where would we be? No hope. no peace, no security, where would we be? So I'm going to encourage you, don't forget to be thankful for salvation that Christ bought us on the cross. It's worthy of our thanks every day. One of the most interesting things in Acts is that the Apostle Paul never forgot his salvation. Years after his road experience on the road to Damascus, he wrote to young Timothy, and he said, I'm the chief sinner. I'm a blasphemer. I was a blasphemer. All these things I was, and God has seen fit to save me and use me. In the book of Acts, two or three different times, he gave his testimony. Once before Pilate, once before, not Pilate, I'm sorry, in Rome, and then once in Jerusalem. He gave his testimony of what happened on the Damascus Road. He never lost count of it. We should never do that. Don't become so familiar, so at peace with it, you forget it. The active voice, this has to come from you. An attitude of gratitude has to come from you, your own soul. Thank you. Thank you. Subjunctive mood. This is powerful. Because we're going to see this is much more than just thank you. And whether or not this comes from you depends on several things. Let us constantly be thankful or show gratitude. Now, why did the New American Standard insert the word show in the margin? If you look at the margin, you got the word show. See? Why did they do that? And they inserted have because of the next line. New American Standard, by which we may offer to God. The King James, whereby we may serve God. NIV, so worship God. We may offer to God. We may serve God. And in that way, worship God. The important thing here is the principle we saw in 1 John 3:18. Not love by tongue. Not love by deed. But by deed, not love by tongue, but love by deed and truth. Truth. Truth of who and what you are. Truth and understanding where it comes from. Not show your thanksgiving by tongue, but by deed and truth. By which we may offer to God. Present active subjunctive of the verb to serve, to worship, to offer. All three are acceptable. The Greek word is used for Levitical priest before the altar, performing the official priesthood function. The present tense, we receive the kingdom of God. Therefore, let us respond with an attitude of continually offering up to God thanksgiving, worship, and service. Remember, active voice, we do this. A mental attitude put into action. Subjunctive mood, maybe we will, maybe we will not. And because of us, we do not do this nearly enough for our wonderful things we receive from God. I'm very thankful. That wonderful lady that reared me. We were just little bitty kids. And I'll never forget Christmas. Every Christmas, all the family came. There'd be as many as 30, 40 people in one room. My old grandpa, he'd throw the gifts and he'd throw something that could break. And, their family screaming. But no matter what I got, my brothers got, we were hit on the back of the head if need be, tell them thank you. I don't care if it was Aunt Elsie's lousy cookies that she cooked and gave a little bag to all the grandkids and the kids. Thank you for the cookies. Thank you for the handkerchief. Thank you for the shirt. Thank you. Whatever it was. We were made, taught, say thank you. And I'm so thankful for that. Now it's just second nature. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Whatever it is. A lot of people don't know how to say thank you. Even in the day we live. A lot of people don't know how to even say thank you for big things. Jesus Christ healed the lepers. One came back and said, thank you. They don't know how to say thank you. We're not taught. It's not in our soul. But it should be. We may offer to God a service, a worship, an offering of thanksgiving. What are we to offer to God? Yes, of course, we're to give verbal thanks to God every day. I just have done it all my life. And my wife and I, we eat breakfast, whatever. Give thanks. We eat at a public restaurant. I don't care if it's a mansion. Say thank God. Say thank you. I've never regretted that. Never forgot it. It's got to be done. And if I'm with the whole big table, I don't make a big scene about it. I just do it on my own. But we should give thanks for our salvation, for our heritage that we have in Christ. But as with spiritual love, there's a service of gratitude that we may offer Him. And that service of gratitude must be an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Acceptable to Him with reverence and awe. We start off with a descriptive adjective, meaning when it says acceptable, well-pleasing. Well-pleasing. So the best way to translate this is in an acceptable manner. Now what does that mean? What does it mean in an acceptable manner? Whether something, even a service, is acceptable and done in an acceptable manner depends on the person. Let me jump right to it. Two people can give, sing, pray, be kind, so on. Only one is acceptable to God. The other is unacceptable. See? We saw this. This is one of the first lessons we learned in history. Two brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain offered his very best. Abel offered his very best. See? Why was Cain's offering to God unacceptable? See? Unacceptable. We're here to show gratitude, not how great I am. Cain said, here's what I've done. Here's my fruit labor. See how wonderful my fruit, things that I've grown are? That's not what is acceptable. Abel offered what he has done. Here's what you have done. For me. See? That's what's acceptable to God. What does it mean to offer something acceptable to God? Let's start off with Romans 15:1. Romans 15:1. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. Our service and gratitude is to please God, not ourselves. Not on what, look how great I am. Look what I've done for you. But on how wonderful he is and what he's done for you. Secondly, let's look at Galatians 1:10. Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. People, our service of gratitude must be pleasing and acceptable to God, not to others. We're not here to please man. We're here to please God with how we live. Morally, financially, spiritually, every area of our life. If we're here to please man, if we're here to do everything politically accurate and correct, we're not here to please God. We're here to please God. 3. Romans 8. Verse 8. Romans 8. Verse 8. Just jumping to the phrase that's going to matter to us. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Right here is the beginning of service in an acceptable manner. Not in the flesh, but in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. You've got to know how to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. There are a multitude of believers who tomorrow are going to give thanks. All this kind of stuff in the flesh. In the flesh. I encourage you to be in the Holy Spirit. Be in the Holy Spirit. What's done in the flesh cannot please Him. How can we do something to please Him if we're doing it in the flesh? See? What I love about Jeff playing his trumpet for us on Sunday morning, he's not doing it to impress anybody. He's doing it to please the Lord, to give us an opportunity to sing to music. I give thanks for him all the time that he's come forward. See? I want Mike to come and sing again. Mike thinks his voice is gone. We're not here to hear a great voice. We're here to hear a voice that's pleasable and acceptable to God. When I study, when kid studies, that's I know it is with kid. It's what I'm at my desk. Is this what you want me to say? I don't want to say anything you don't want me to. I don't want to say what you want me to. Guide me. It's all I care about. Guide me. Right? Lead me. That's what I want. See? Because I know if I say what he wants me to say, it'll be what you need to hear. I know that. Because he cares about you. So I know if I say what he wants me to say, it'll be what you need to hear said. So, this is what we do. Can't do it in the flesh. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So just remember tomorrow, be in the filling of the Spirit. Fourth, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Remember, we're dealing with how do we please Him? How do we please Him? Something that is acceptable manner is something that pleases Him. How do we do it? We started off by pleasing God, not ourselves, part one. Then we went to part two. It must be please God, not others. Part one, not ourselves. Two, not others. Point three, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Point four, not in flesh, but by faith in the Holy Spirit. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So, if you want to please Him tomorrow in your Thanksgiving day, not just your prayer, but in Thanksgiving day, do it by faith. Look into faith. Five, Colossians. Colossians 1:10. We've studied this before. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, whatever we do. Having fun, serious, whatever it is, pleasing Him in all respects. Sometimes, especially today, I'll be watching a movie, and I'll go, I don't like this. This isn't doing me any good in my soul, and I don't know why we're here. And we've walked out. I'm thankful for the woman I'm married to. We walked out. She said, I agree. Everything we do, is it pleasing to Him? Don't become a weirdo about it. Don't become a weirdo. But just bear that in your soul. Is this pleasing to Him? See? The more we increase in the knowledge of God, and the more we increase in the knowledge of Christ, the more we know what pleases Him. Christmas is coming up. Are you going to give a gift that pleases you? Well, I gave this gift. Or is it what they want? My favorite old example, the guy spends, now it'd be up to $50,000, on a swimming pool with a fountain and all this stuff. That's just gorgeous. And she isn't appreciative. Look what I did for you. I don't sunbathe. I don't swim. I don't like the sun. I don't like to swim. You got it for yourself. Don't kid yourself. You got to think of the person for whom you're buying a gift. See? That's why for our grandchildren, I don't buy it at Christmas time. Through the year, I was like, that's this one, that's this one. And when I first started doing it, I said, you can't buy one for one and you have nothing for all of them. I said, well, right now, this one's him, this one's her. One day we'll be shopping and I'll see something for the other one. See? Then I'll see something for the other one. That's what I got to buy it. See? But, so you buy something, that's this person. That's what you give a gift for. With reverence, the Greek word is a little difficult to translate. It carries a negative concept of distant for all that is not of God, not righteous, not pure. But the word emphasizes the positive aspect of the great reverence for God. Then, thirdly, it emphasizes the person as being humble, not being arrogant, not occupied with self, but completely occupied with God, with a non-arrogant attitude toward the holiness of God. You know, I've been working on position in Christ, election, divine decrees, sovereignty, all to get to one doctrine, predestination. But I tell you, working on the sovereignty of God has just shattered me, man. It just shook me up. That we ought to just think every time we pray, who we're praying to? We're praying to the sovereign God. Here I am, not even worthy to walk into offices in most of the buildings of Dallas. Definitely not the president's office. Definitely not these places. Not the Pentagon. But here I am. I'm face to face with the sovereign God. Remember that. Don't ever forget Him. Look what He is. I can't wait till the first Sunday when I get back and we study the sovereignty of God. That's what we're going to study those first two Sundays. And it's been a long time since I've studied just the sovereignty of God. And I'm ashamed for that, but I'm happy because this, we're going to look at it and with new eyes, new input. The sovereignty of God. That's why we pray and think the way we do. Okay, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom, going back to our beginning, which cannot be shaken, let us constantly show gratitude by which we may offer to God in an acceptable manner with reverence and awe. And that's my Thanksgiving gift to you, to challenge you to show gratitude to God in a manner that is acceptable to Him, pleasing to Him, and a reverence of who and what He is. Don't get caught up in the day so that you lose sight of Him, as we have in this country. I wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. Let's close in a word of prayer. We thank You, Father, that You're a compassionate God. You saw us when we were sinful, with no righteousness, headed for an eternal lake of fire. And You had compassion and mercy. And You provided the only way that we could escape a rightful destiny. And You made it so simple, just by trusting in the One You've sent. We praise You for Your sovereignty. We praise You for Your love. And we praise You for Your righteousness. Father, we're sorry that America has drifted so far away from the days of George Washington. You've dealt with this nation in mercy, overlooking so much. I don't know how long You withhold judgment. But Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You for our salvation, our spirituality, our family, our friends, with whom we will celebrate tomorrow. We praise You, Father, in Your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.